Okay, open up to Isaiah 55, put a marker there. And then also, over in Luke, I did a message a few weeks ago before going to the conference in Ohio called Impossible with Men, Possible with God. And this one builds on that one. It's probably not going to have the same title exactly. But what's been developing in me for a while, the Lord finally got it across to me in a very simple format. And it was so important. At this conference that we just had up in Dayton, Ohio at Jim Martin's church, I don't think this has ever happened before. I had four opportunities to minister, and I taught the same illustration four times. Now, at the conclusion of it, he would bring out a little different flavor. But it's so important that we get this. And I'm going to go ahead and do it again today. So those of you that watched the video of the conference up there, you said, well, I've already seen this four times. Well, you're about to see it number five. I just work here. Now, here's the problem with this illustration. It is so simple, even I can understand it, which means you're going to understand it, which also means you're going to be more accountable at the end of this hour than you were when you walked in the door. I have to be careful with that word accountable, with my accent. If I say it too fast, one time I was saying, you're accountable. That, to me, that's the way it sounded. A friend of mine in another city, when I talk with him, he says, how come you're telling us we're cannibals? You're a cannibal. No, accountable, accountable. Tell you what, let's start over in Luke. Hold your place in Isaiah just for a moment. Just a little bit of review. Go to Luke 18. Just want to see this verse. Normally I would teach it in context, but if we do that today, we won't make it to where he wants to go. It's in the context of the rich young ruler. He was asking what he needed to do to go on with God, you know. And the answer Jesus gave him, he wasn't able to do it. Anyone ever been there? Yeah, I've been there. But Jesus says an astounding thing in verse 27. If I could find the verse, it'd work, wouldn't it? There it is. Verse 27. This is just a statement I think we can all agree with. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Can I get an amen? Am I in the right crowd? I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how difficult it is. I don't care how late it is. I don't care if he has to stop a funeral and get the boy out of the casket. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Now, in that same vein, go back in Luke to chapter 1. Something that the angel Gabriel said to Mary when he was telling her that she was going to conceive and have a child, even though she was a virgin. And she wasn't really doubting that it would happen. She just wondered how it would happen. You know, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? I mean, that's the natural way. So we'll pick it up here in verse 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. The power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, who hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now here's the verse. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Let's say that out loud. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Now, the Greek language from which that verse was translated adds a little more fullness in that language than what we have in the King James. How many know I love the King James? Dave is right up there. I love the King James. He's waving back. Okay. But the Greek language actually says it like this. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power. Just let that sink in for a minute. Did you know the Word of God has the power within itself to produce itself? If It's never an issue with the seed. It's always an issue with the ground. God's going to work on our ground some today. This illustration is going to help work on our ground. There's already power in the Word. The question is the ground prepared to receive that Word and allow it to produce? We're the ground. We got it? Now back to Isaiah 55. You ready? Now this is a verse that I've loved forever in 3 days. It seems so simple. I thought I understood it. But I'll just be honest with you. None of us understand like we should understand until we can get Tommy Perez out of the wheelchair. Tommy Perez, for those of you who might not be familiar with that name, is the son of two good, really good friends of mine, Tom and Lynn Perez, who live on Long Island in New York. And many years ago, Sue and I went there primarily for the purpose of, well, I started to say to pray for Tommy. Those were the days when we were charging hell with a water pistol. Y'all ever do that? You know, you're charging hell. I don't care. I'm going to go get Tommy out of that chair, you know, and he come in there, boy, both water pistols blazing. Got her eyebrow singed off. Purpose of that is to discourage you or you quit, you know. I fully expected Tommy to get out of that chair. By the way, Tommy has cerebral palsy. He's 38 now. He still can't talk with you, although he's very much aware that you're there and with him. He's always glad to receive company. And Tommy just, he's got a wonderful little personality. You just love him, you know, if you met him. He can't really kiss with his lips. His body won't let him do that. But if you come, he'll take your hand and he'll touch your hand to his teeth. That's how he kisses. He's just a wonderful young man. And you'll never convince me. You can bring all the doctors and religious people you want. You'll never, ever, ever convince me it's God's will that he be in that wheelchair. And I also know that Jesus, if somehow if he could manifest and walk through the wall himself and do the will of the Father, you'll never convince me he wouldn't get Tommy right out of that chair. Tommy would be right here giving his testimony. Amen? And we're supposed to do that. See, we're supposed to be doing exactly that. Well, he's helping us. The Holy Spirit's helping us with this little illustration here. So now, Isaiah 55, we'll start in verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Let's stop right for a minute. He's having me jump to the end of the lesson. How many of you know Romans 12:2? Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Haven't we taught on that forever in 3 days? You think you understand that, right? I thought I understood it. Reading again about the very first miracle at Cana. It was a wedding feast, do you remember? Did y'all ever get married? Yeah, you did. You got married. That's what Dave asked, right? Oh, he did the wedding, right? Yeah. Wedding feast. It's a day, you know. It's a wonderful day. And the custom there, they had wine at the wedding. And not their wedding. But anyway, this wedding at Cana. And they had wine at the wedding. And they run out of wine. So the mother of Jesus, Mary, she turns to him and says, they're out of wine. Now, we think our mind is pretty renewed. Bless God, I've been reading the Bible, meditating the Word, praying in tongues. Glory to God, I've got a renewed mind, huh? Whose first thought among us is, oh, we'll just turn water into wine? Which of us has that thought first? What's your first thought? Is there a winery nearby? Is there, you know... You don't want to say liquor store in church. If you need wine, what's our first thought? Our first thought is what? The natural. How about when the disciples came to him when he fed the 5,000? Remember the 5,000 men plus women and children, it says. So there's probably 10 to 15,000. I try and picture in my mind 10 or 15,000 people there. And they've already been with Jesus 3 days, you know, traveling out there. And they're hungry. Course. So the disciples come with a perfectly legitimate question. They come and they say, well, we need to go into town and buy food. Now, Gary's first thought, even after all these years, if it was me running the meeting, you going into Quick Trip, are you? Hey, get me a tuna on rye. Who among us, our first thought is, well, we'll just feed him with virtually nothing. What do we have? Five loaves and two fishes. I've heard Bible scholars with so many, you know, PhDs and DHD. I don't know what all they got behind their name, you know. All those. I've heard them say, well, the loaves were much bigger in those days. 15,000 people. It's a little boy's lunch. Come on. You can educate yourself right out of your mind. I'm telling you right now. Whose first thought? Oh, well, here, I just asked the Father to bless them. And then Jesus, it'd be one level of miracle if he went through the crowd and he broke them. Our thinking would be one way. If he broke them and they kept multiplying. That's not what happened. He blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to the disciples. So here's Peter going off with his little basket, whatever. His little portion he's supposed to get. You know, he set them down by 50s, you remember? So he's heading off and he's got like nothing. And Peter's going, oh God, oh God. But what starts happening as he starts passing it out? It multiplies in Peter's hand. Multiplies in John's hand. And we think our mind is renewed. Peter's got a little renewed that day, I bet you. Okay, we better get started here. What I'm saying is, our mind is not as renewed. We're not as, okay, let's say it this way. We're not as kingdom-minded as we'd like to think we are. Okay? Our first thought, and I'm not even saying our first thought. Our first thought really should be, Father, what do you want? Father, what do you want to do? That's our first thought. Well, he says, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For years I've thought I've understood this. Now, I'm going to walk on down here where the camera can get ready. No, I am not going to hula hoop. Just get it out of your mind. This is the only way I can hula hoop these days, and that's like this, okay? All right. That's not the lesson. All right. What we're going to illustrate in such a simple way, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Because the purpose of this lesson is not to entertain. The purpose of this lesson, we've got to elevate our thinking. We've got to really start understanding the kingdom we're from and what's possible there and stop thinking limited by the natural mind, okay? Now, to illustrate this, somebody gave me a book that was printed in the 20s, I think. It's a math book, but the man who did it is a mathematician and a believer, and I think the title is called The Fourth Dimension and the Bible. And as I read, now just the way I'm wired, y'all know I have an engineering training. The way I'm wired, I'm telling you, this burst forth in my thinking, and it's still going on now, and I think it's going to be a prelude to revival for all of us, okay? But let's illustrate this point. And in this book, the man does it this way. I won't walk too far away for the camera's sake here. And by the way, if you're listening to this by audio, I'm going to do my best to describe what's happening, but this lesson, if it's possible for you, watch it in video. This one is better seen than just heard. I'm going to do my best. Okay, geometry. The smallest thing in geometry. Don't run for the doors. I know I mentioned math. I know. In geometry, the smallest object is a dot. If you could picture just a dot and really with no dimensions, just a dot. That's the simplest, smallest structure that's in geometry. Okay? A line, if you'll allow me, is a series of dots. You got that? A line is a series of dots. Now, when Cole was about 6 years old, that's my grandson, he's 10 now, but when he was about 5 or 6, he used to ask me, Papa, can you pretend? I want you to pretend with me that there is a universe called Lineland. Lineland, you got that? In line, now we've got a green line. We sing about this line. Get on the green line. Hey, Jim had a blue line. We're trying to get anointing into that. I don't know, man. Now, this line is really kind of wide for this illustration, but if you could visualize this green line and just narrow down, it's really just, it has no width. In line land, there is only length. You got that? There is no width. There is no height. There is no depth. There is not even a concept of those things. In line land, there's length. So if I am a Linelander and I live in line land and all I ever know is the physics of line land, man, I'm just real happy though because I don't know there's anything else. And I live my little life going up and down line land. Hi, how you doing? I just love, well, you're not over there. There's no width. But anyway, I'm just going up and down line land. And I can go back and I can go forth and everything is wonderful, you know. And actually, I've actually been to Lineland University and I'm a very educated Linelander and I know what's possible in the universe, what man can do. And actually, I went to seminary too and they taught me in seminary what God can do. So I'm just very happy I'm very educated and I have doctor's initials behind my name. And I'm just very happy in Lineland and everything is great until suddenly I come up to some kind of obstacle. In Lineland. Now remember, there's only length. And I'm a dot. I know I'm a big dot, but I'm a dot. And I've come up against something that's in the way. It's an obstacle. There is no concept of to the left or to the right or over. This is impossible. How does David do that at Cow at a Newgate? He's looking at that. Look, it wasn't here yesterday. But see, in Lineland, I have come up to an impossible situation. There's nothing. Joe, I need you for a minute. Now, go up one step. Just step right there. Now, Joe, I can't see him. Joe doesn't really live in Lineland. Joe lives in a flatland. Flatland, I didn't bring a sheet of paper here. Excuse me, I left Lineland for just a minute. Flatland is a two-dimensional universe. Can you see like this? There's not only length, there's also width. There's left and there's right. Now, there's no up or down, but there's left, there's right, as well as length. Well, Joe here is from Flatland. I live in Lineland. His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts are higher than my thoughts. And he's kind of a benevolent person and he's watching me. I can't get past this thing. And he's up here going, oh, brother, you know, I said, but I'm a doctor and I've been to university and I've been to seminary. This is impossible. This is absolutely. And then all of a sudden he just comes down. I can't really see him, but he comes down to help me. And he understands width. And he takes me from my line. Now, by the way, when I leave the line, I disappear to everybody in line land. To them, it's like, oh, he was there. And he disappeared. Joe just takes me right around. And then he comes back to the left. Plops me back down on line land. Goes back to his world. And everybody behind me goes, he reappeared. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And Joe's going, oh, brother. He's going, this is not really hard, you know. Can you see how his ways, the Flatlander's ways, is higher than the Linelander? His thoughts are higher than the Linelander's thoughts. You got that? So now, Joe thinks he's such a hot rod. Joe's walking around. Now, he's in Flatland. See, look, he's able to leave the line. He's able to go left. He's able to go right. Everything is just wonderful, you know. And he's been to university, and he's an educated man. He knows the physics of his world. He knows what's possible in Flatland, and he just goes around and having a good life, and everything is wonderful. Till suddenly, he comes up to an obstacle. Now, remember, he's a dot. So as those, that circle is a series of dots. There is no height, but he does have width. So he starts going around it. Well, maybe there's an opening. Because I've got to get to the center of that right there. I've got to get to the center of it, but it's completely closed. I can go left, I can go right, I can go all around it. But there's absolutely no way. It's impossible. And see, and he's been to Flatland Seminary. You know, he knows what's possible with God. This is impossible. If it was cancer, I gotta die. If it was finances somehow, I gotta go bankrupt. If whatever it is, he cannot get to the answer because there's this obstacle in the way. Then we have an earthlander. Go up two steps. Two steps, see? Now, his ways, he lives in our world. Three-dimensional world. Where there's not only length, not only widths, like the flatlander, but in our land, we have height and we have depth. We got three dimensions, right? So, go around the circle. No, not you. Boy, he's eager to help, isn't he? So, this is another benevolent person. The flatlander can't really see the earthlander, but the earthlander is watching. And from his position, he's going, well, maybe I just need to have mercy on this guy. So he comes down. You're able to do this. He's not real heavy. Pick Joe up and set him in the center. He disappeared. Set him in the center of the circle. Can you do it? He reappeared. Oh my God. Okay, go back to your exalted position. Go back to your exalted position. And we, the rest of us in Flatland, we saw it, but we never saw him. See, because he's from another realm. But we saw the results. Did y'all ever hear a scripture? And Philip was found at Azotus. Remember he was preaching to the Ethiopian? How about another one? And Enoch was not. How about another one? Jesus walked through the wall. We could give some other ones here. So you see, are you beginning to make the connection here? All right. You did really good. Thank you. Your dilemma was solved thanks to this benevolent person right here. But now we've got the earthlander. And the earthlander, he pretty smart. I'm telling you, I've been to university. I've been to seminary. I am educated into everything that's possible in this world. Everything is wonderful. I need God. Just, sir, your God, come up. Doesn't he look like God? Hang on. Now, he gets to sit on a throne. Always give God a throne. There you go. Come right up here, sir. Now, God's watching us. Through the prophet Isaiah, he's watching us, and we're going through all of our stuff. We're going through problems and dilemmas, and we're serving God best we know how. And I don't really have anything to illustrate it, but there's 1,000 things in life, isn't there, that we come up against. Whether it's an obstacle in our own life, let's take Tommy Perez. We come up to Tommy, and right now I'm reminded of the disciples in Matthew 17. Remember when the father brought his lunatic son? And the disciples, you're the disciples, and you're doing everything you know to do. You know, you pray for the boy and you know, everything that you've ever seen or done. You've had success before casting out devils. You cast out the devil. You be healed in Jesus' name. But at the end, he was just as bad as before. Now see, the Father has been watching humanity all this time. Through the prophet Isaiah, all the way back there, he says, now, in the same way that the flatlander's ways were higher than the linelander's, and the earthlander's ways were higher than the flatlander's. Oh, I'm getting there. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts, they're not even like our thoughts. Preaching to myself here. You remember when Joe just kind of shook his head? Everybody in that land was going, "It's a miracle!" And Joe was going, "This is normal." See, what we are calling, and they are miracles, don't get me wrong, the Bible calls them miracles. But you know, from God's perspective, I'm going to say it a different way, from Jesus' perspective, This is supposed to be normal kingdom business. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. As in heaven, so on earth. Isn't it simple? But His way, our minds are so little renewed, I'm starting to see now. Yes, sir. Okay. Give me a minute. Jake? He's got a beard like Jesus. So the Father first, He sent us a visitor from that realm to this realm. What's His name? Jesus. We get to watch, Earthlanders, we get to watch Jesus through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And we see, oh my goodness, He keeps saying that He and His Father are one. He thinks with the Father's thoughts. They are working together. Okay, Holy Spirit. I've already used Joe. Rick, be the Holy Spirit for me. Now, you stand right over here for a minute. Just for a minute. Thank you. I need a lot of help. See what I mean about this one being better? This is one that's better seen than heard. I don't know how to describe it all. But anyway. You got to understand that Jesus, for 30 years, lived on planet Earth sin-free, did He not? But do you also realize He didn't do one miracle during those 30 years? You reckon there was any blind people in Nazareth where He grew up? You reckon there was poor people sitting on the corner begging? You reckon there was lepers and wherever they went? Sure. Now, Jesus is love with legs. He is compassion. He is, you reckon, I've tried to think what it must have been like for Him to walk right by. There was a blind man right there. When he's 28, 29 years old, and have to walk by that man. See, I used to wonder, why wouldn't He heal him? He wouldn't heal him because He couldn't heal him. Get thrown out of church right there at a lot of places. He hadn't been to the baptism of John yet. You turn this way for the camera's sake. Face that way. Yeah, thank you. I'm John the Baptist. This is the day that Jesus gets baptized in the Jordan River. You got to remember that when God made the first Adam, He says, and Adam and Eve, let them have dominion. You remember that? Who was He talking to there? He's talking to the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Ghost. Adam was never supposed to be powerless on planet Earth. He worked in conjunction with the Holy Ghost. You understand that? But when Adam fell, he lost that dominion. Really, the devil took it by default, if you'll allow me. Well, what we're seeing at the baptism of John, even John the Baptist did not know why Jesus came to be baptized. His baptism was different than our baptism. Our baptism is represents being born again. It's an outward expression of something that's happened on the inside. We're dying to the old man and we're coming up a new man. That's Christian baptism. That's not Jewish baptism that John was doing. That baptism was for repentance of sins. Oh, John looks at Jesus. I mean, he's already said, this is the Lamb that taketh away the sin of the world, you know. So Jesus comes to be baptized and John goes, bet me. I need to be baptized by you, not you by me. He knew Jesus didn't have any sins to be washed away. But Jesus knew what it was. Now, you don't have to just stand there. I'll do it. When John the Baptist laid Jesus down in the water, Jesus was making a visual vow to His Father. He was saying, I know why You sent me. Can y'all see me over there? When He laid Jesus down in the water, that's a type of the grave. Father, I know why You sent me. You sent me here to die for all of mankind. Father, this is my vow to You. I'm going all the way to the cross. I'm going to accomplish what You sent me to do. But when John raised Him up out of the water, that was also a representation of Jesus' faith. Father, You have already spoken. You will not leave my soul in hell. neither shall my flesh see corruption. My vow of trust in you, that you will raise me from the dead. And in God who looks on the heart, and not on the outward appearance, he was looking at his son's heart and he saw it as done. That it's like a gavel came down in the courtroom of heaven. Bam! The first Adam is dead. Now, this is my son. And that same dominion, that's why you see the Holy Spirit coming upon him at that moment to enforce dominion. The second Adam now has been anointed with the Holy Ghost. And he has dominion like the first Adam had. You got that? Now, he did have to do, you're going to do double duty today. There is the first thing that the Holy Spirit led him, come around and lead him right over to Job. First thing the Holy Spirit had to do was lead him to the devil. I'm sorry. You're the only man sitting on the front row. I'm sorry. And you know what happened there? The temptation in the wilderness? Why that? The last Adam had to succeed where the first Adam failed. When the first Adam was tempted, he yielded. When this Adam was tempted, and by the way, what did he use? It is written. It is written. It is written. No word of God is without power. You got that? So he succeeded. Be gone. Okay. Now, I want to show you one other thing before we go on. Is this okay? Is this, y'all getting this? A while ago, I showed you before the baptism how Jesus himself would have to walk through Nazareth. Walk right past a blind person and have to leave them that way? Did you know the Holy Spirit is also omnipresent? Now, I don't know if this will preach exactly, but if it's possible for the Holy Spirit to walk through that town, do you realize that he had to walk by the blind person also? Who has power? Who is the molecule changer? That's the Holy Spirit. Do you realize he had to, if you'll allow me, he had to walk through town right past that blind beggar? And he couldn't do anything either. If he could have, he would have. See, the way this is, God set this up for man to be an authority here. And for the Holy, the man is the agent of authority. The Holy Spirit is the agent of power. Lock arms. It wasn't until these two hooked up, locked arms. Now, just walk this way. Just walk together. And now you see Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Now be doing this, Holy Ghost. Use both hands here. This is people getting healed. This is the woman with the issue of blood. This is blind Bartimaeus. This is all of them. But it's Jesus and the Holy Spirit working together. And that's what we're supposed to be doing now. That's called kingdom business. Okay. All right. Okay, that's it. Thank you. You're okay. Thank you very much. Is that good or what? Does that help? So now, even after all these years, and boy, I tell you what, religion has done a number on us. There was a prophecy that I didn't print. It's very short. I can quote it pretty much. That came during the conference. And the Lord said, come up higher, come up higher, rise above the teachings of men who loved me, but were deceived by religion, deceived by education, and deceived by the ways of this world. Come up higher and allow my Spirit to teach you the truth concerning my kingdom. That's where we are, prayer center. That is the mission that we're on. Let me just ask you guys. I mean, if there was any place on earth, any church, anywhere, where I could take Tommy and know that he would get healed there, you think I would spare any expense? I'll mortgage my rest of my life to get Tommy out of that chair. But there isn't any place. Yet. Because God intends for us to lay down anything that's not of Him, all religious thinking, all man-made thinking, and people with good intentions, but they just don't know the things of the kingdom. Yes, sir. Go to Matthew 6, I think. Now, this verse has taken on a whole new meaning to me now. Yes, I'm taking my hula hoop to Florida, too. God woke me up. I was trying to figure out. See, I taught this once here, and I used that circle where the dove is, you know. There's no circle with a dove at Jim's church. I didn't know how I was going to illustrate it. The Holy Ghost woke me up early before I was going to preach. Said, go to Walmart. Buy a hula hoop. Buy a bright one. Now I understand, you know, something that can be seen by the camera pretty easy. One of our favorite verses, one of mine anyway, Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I don't like the word evolution, but it's the right word for the evolution of my mind over these years, how that verse has continued to grow on the inside of me. In the beginning, it was just be saved and thank God I'm saved and thank God I'm going to heaven and not hell, and that was the kingdom, and it is. Thank God for that. Then it was grow up, quit being so mean, let Christ be formed in you, you know, let Him love on people through you, and that is part of the kingdom. Amen? Then I had to unlearn some things that I was taught was the kingdom that weren't the kingdom, not here, but other places. But now, recently, within the last few months, really since I read that book, I'm going, God, do I have any kingdom thoughts during the day? Kingdom thoughts like Jesus would have kingdom thoughts? I mean, I love you, I talk with you, but even that, I'm telling you, you can spend hours in worship. And He likes that. He loves that, actually. But that doesn't mean you're going to leave there. That doesn't mean you're going to leave there with kingdom thoughts other than I love you. Kingdom thoughts are possibility thoughts. Kingdom thoughts are higher than earth thoughts. We have got to start. Yes, sir. Kitama. Well, He did this to me at Jim's too. Presto skiti ando la kisto manda frata visto kai anta tara masho ke biatasa. Shara mi e kadri. Son dele brico muste. Fondo storo Christus mandere bike andara labrato. For I have not spoken in a dark place. These mysteries have been hidden from the foundations of the world, but they are not hidden from my children, says the Lord. With that Spirit of Christ that quickened you from death to life, I have sent the Teacher, the One who has purposely been sent to make my ways your ways. And to make my thoughts your thoughts, that the very mind of Christ shall be manifested in the earth through you, His body. God. Whew. That's the Holy Ghost. Dave's been telling us all these years. But suddenly now it's, I'm almost afraid to open a box of cereal. God, you want to open it, Father? I'm trying to get where I'm thinking. Yes, sir. Okay, yes. As He's been unfolding this to me, and I'm really starting to see how unrenewed my mind is when it comes to kingdom thinking. Now, if y'all go away from here telling people I said this, I'll probably deny it and lie, you know. Then I'll have to repent. So just don't do it. I started complaining a little bit. Like, where's this teaching been? Hey, I have prayed until my lips rolled off on the floor. Come on. And all of a sudden now, I'm getting some witnesses here, you know. And you've taught me a lot of things, but it's all of a sudden, And you know what he took me right back to? The face-to-face teachings in 1998. It's a no fair. Bringing up truth and stuff, come on. It took me right back there. I don't have them with me. They're at my website, www.garycarpenter.org. I think they're in the face-to-face. Yeah, they're in the. We have a section called face-to-face. So they're there in printed form, and then I read them and recorded them so you can put them on your iPod or play them however you want. He started reminding me. You remember the one where he came and taught me about all nine gifts of the Spirit? He's telling me how I was to expect them to flow through me. He did not tell me how you are to expect them to flow through you. Did you hear that part? That's really important right there. One reason I don't push that, I just make it available. But he plainly says in there, this is how Gary is to expect the word of knowledge. This is how Gary is to expect the word of wisdom. This is how he does it through me. And I'm not to start saying now, that's how it is for everybody. That's not what he said. But if the Holy Spirit would come and start teaching me those things, don't you think the Holy Spirit will come and teach each of us those things? So he just took me right back and he says, I did my part. Yes. Oh, man. See, he's always mean to me. Or not mean to me, but he's always real nice to you guys. I'm the one who has to get up here and tell him myself. One of the other ones was that one where he said the most important thing in my progress was to become constantly aware that the Holy Spirit is with me. He says, this will seem like a game to you, but it is of the highest order of reality. Talk to my spirit. Talk to him all day. Talk to him like he's really there. Talk to him like he's with you. Talk to him like he's your best friend, for he really is. He is with you, Gary, whether you are aware that he's with you or not. But awareness of his presence is what creates in me an expectation for supernatural happenings. You understand? You know? He told me that. Did you endure for a few months? Then I got busy. Busy with probably good things like ministry things. What man calls ministry. See, because in another one he said, no ministry has happened until the Holy Spirit is allowed to move. Are you seeing where my excuses are evaporating like a snowball in the August sunshine in Oklahoma? He was teaching me. He has taught me. That teaching has been there. Somewhere I read, y'all help me remember where I saw this. Endurance. What was that? Endurance is the key. Well, now I'm understanding. Yeah, somebody's pointing to the foyer because that was the very first word given to the prayer center. I always, in my mind, equated that endurance with staying in prayer. And it is. Staying in fasting, and it is. Staying in meditation of the word, and it is. But now I see another level of endurance that I haven't given as much attention to as I should have. And that's enduring in every word that he gives you. Enduring in it. Not for a little while, but until Jesus returns. Or until we go be with him. Endurance is the key. Go to Luke 11. Let's just look at this now. For that word where he says, until the Holy Spirit is allowed to move, no ministry has taken place. What God calls ministry. Man calls it ministry. And don't get me wrong, Holy Spirit can move during counseling sessions when people are sitting there and you're giving them truth from God's Word and the light comes on. You know, they get it. That's also the Holy Spirit, but we're really talking beyond there. I'm talking about getting Tommy out of the wheelchair. And all these people, all these faces that we have on this prayer box up here, that even with modern medical science, they have no hope at all for any of these cases here. The things that are impossible with men are possible with God. Luke 11, we've taught on this many times. Verse 1, it says, "It came to pass that as he was praying," that's Jesus, "in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And he teaches them the Lord's Prayer. "And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Now here it is. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, in this teaching, Jesus is taking it a little bit beyond the teaching in Matthew 6. There, when he did the Lord's Prayer, he started teaching on... Now, he does talk about this some later on in Matthew's account. But the emphasis there was on you and your provision. You can't serve God in money. Consider the lily, consider the birds. Okay? Here, it's a higher level. Because now he's talking about the Lord's Prayer in conjunction with delivering God's bread to other people. This is really more of a minister's mind. This is where when you pray, Tommy gets out of the chair. Okay? So look what he says. And I'm sure the reason the disciples asked him, they kept seeing this pattern. Jesus would go off and be alone with the Father. He would pray all night. He'd pray on the mountain. They'd watch him go pray. And then when he come back, go amongst the people, pow, bam, splat, you know, power would happen. People would get healed, blind eyes would open, deaf ears would open. And they're going, "Will you teach us to pray like that so when we pray, stuff happens?" How many of you think that's a good prayer? I think that's a good prayer. And which of you shall have a friend? And I'm going to, yes, sir. "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves. But notice, it's not for me to eat. It's fine for you to go and get what you need from God. This is a step higher. He needs bread for a friend. I need bread for a friend. I need cerebral palsy healing bread. And I'll tell you right now, at the end of this, you're going to find out we're not going to have it without the involvement of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. "For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him." What did Jesus say? "Without me, you can do what? Nothing." See, I've already been there. I've already found out Gary has nothing to deliver to Tommy. I have nothing to set before him. So he said, "Which of you has a friend that you'd go and ask him for bread? And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door's now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needs." Now, one of my meditation times through here, the Lord asked me that question. He says, "You got any friends like that?" You know, friends. Now, Dave might not like it if I go to his house at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, bam, bam, bam. "What? What do you want?" "Man, I got somebody starving smooth to death, and I don't have anything to feed the guy." He says, "Do you have any bread I could give him?" What do you think? Dave's not going to turn me away and say, "Go away, I'm in bed with my kids." What's he going to do? And I got to thinking, I don't even have any friends that would act like that guy. Actually, I don't think I have any acquaintances that would act like that guy. I'm not real close friends with a neighbor on the south side of my house. His name is Sam. My name is Gary. Hi, how you doing? Nice lawn, nice cat. You know, we're friendly enough, but we're not what you'd call friends, you know. But even with Sam, if I went over there, bam, 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 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not saying he would like it. But if I said, "Man, I got a guy, he's starving smooth to death here. I don't have a crumb to give him. Do you have any bread I could give the guy?" Even that, my acquaintance there, he's going to open the door. But yet religion accuses God of being like this guy all the time. "You got to storm the gates of heaven." Oh, give me a break. God's more eager to deliver the bread than you are to deliver it. Jesus is the one that died to provide the bread, crying out loud. It's not God that's keeping Tommy in the chair. Verse 8, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needs. What he's saying, even an ugly neighbor like this guy, you'll still get it if you persist. But notice what he says. Then he switches it, starts talking about God. And this is the faith we've got to have, people. This is revival faith right here. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Is there a stronger word than shall? It's not maybe so, sometimes so, once in a while so. It shall be so. For everyone that asks. No, it's only for the fivefold. No, it's only for the special. You are special. You're the apple of his eye. Those that believe in my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. It's for the believers. For everyone that asks receives. Let's make that our confession from now till as long as we're on this planet. We got to start renewing our mind with what Jesus says our Father is like. Say it with me. If I ask, I receive. If I seek, I find. If I knock, the door is open to me. That's my Father. Okay? So he says here, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father. Now notice how he switches here from neighbors and friends and God. Now he switches it to family. You are more than a neighbor. You are more than a friend. You are more than a nice religious person. You are a child of God. He is your Father. And that's why Jesus switches this to sonship. He switches it to family now. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask for a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, and of course he means compared to God, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, the amazing thing is this answer. What was the question? Teach us to pray. And not just, what was the reason for asking? We want to have results. We notice you go pray, then you come and minister and you have results. Can you teach us how to go pray? And then when we minister, we'll have results. And he's telling them, well, you're not going to have those results without the Holy Spirit. You're not going to have them with, how much more? Why didn't he answer it this way? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Father answer your prayers? Why say it the way he said it? Because no real ministry has happened unless the Holy Spirit is released to move. Rick, you were the Holy Spirit, right? Come up again. This is Gary. Because I am Gary. I thank God for this church. I thank God for the miracles that I've seen here. I have seen more miracles here than any place I've ever been in my life. And since we started attending here, I've seen more miracles through these hands. Traveling around the country, we've seen cancers healed. We've seen all kinds of things. But to date, Tommy's still in the chair. And I could give you a bunch of other cases right here in our church where it's impossible cases. Okay? So it's been like this. Now here's Gary. Here's the Holy Spirit. We're not linked. Sadly, you go with me everywhere. You know, and I'm a college graduate, you know. In engineering degree, class of 69. That ought to scare you a little bit. And I'm going through my life, and the Holy Spirit is with me everywhere I go, but I can't see him. He's with me everywhere. I try and be nice to people. I come and I'm nice to Angie and my mind right. Kim, thank you. And I try to be nice and good people. If they need something, I will help them. Well, I'm leaving. He's being mean to me today. It's confession day. And right here, closer really than a breath, it's all power. The very one who in the beginning, when God said, light be, and light was. This one that God gave me for answered prayer. When I come up to Tommy, somehow I'm still not making the connection. I'm still, my mind is not where it should be. Yes, sir. Last illustration. Joe, I need you one more time. This time, Joe's not the devil. He's not the Linelander. He's Tommy. Tommy in the chair. Okay, Holy Ghost, come around behind me. Right now, he's going to represent the lunatic boy. Remember in Matthew 17? Lunatic. So he's all, ah! He's all over to the side. And maybe he's got cerebral palsy or something. You know, I'm not trying to be mean or cruel. I'm just trying to illustrate. But like, I'll be the unbelieving disciples. I'm not Jesus and Peter and James and John who were up on the mountain. I'm one of the ones that were down below. And I hope you all can see. But I'm praying. There's a whole bunch of us. We're praying. We're doing. We're casting out. And this boy still, you know, can't get him free. Can't get him free. You know, we're trying and trying. Now, Holy Spirit, come around behind me. The Holy Spirit, yes, sir. I have to do it this way. Who is Jesus? Jesus? Jake? Okay. Stay right there. Jesus comes down off the mountain. When he does what he does, and he prays for that boy, the Holy Spirit like reaches through him, and the power of God touches that boy and he's healed. Jump up, healed. Ha! Delivered! Hallelujah! Sit back down. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated. Now, here's the problem, see? The disciples are going, why didn't it happen when we prayed? We just saw it was the will of... Did Jesus do anything that was not the will of the Father? We just saw it was the will of the Father to heal that boy the whole time. Was the Holy Spirit there when the disciples prayed? They said, why didn't it happen when we prayed? I don't like his answer. I don't think you like it either. I'd like it if he said it was because that was one particularly big, bad, nasty devil. Is that what he said? He said, because of your unbelief. So here's the Holy Spirit who's with me. It's the will of the Father to heal Tommy or that lunatic boy. Try and reach through me. But somehow unbelief in a human can hold back the hands of an all-powerful God. Right? Even if it is the will of the Father, and it was. Even if the power of the Holy Ghost is there, if there's unbelief, we don't like to think it. What did he say? Because of your... Somehow our unbelief holds back that healing hand of an all-powerful God. I have made up my mind. I am going to allow the Holy Spirit to teach me the true things of the kingdom. And where there is unbelief, this kind cometh not out but by what? Not prayer and feasting, like I thought it said. I looked at it again. You know I'm teasing. Prayer and fasting. But that unbelief has got to die. I am absolutely convinced when it does, revival has come. We'll see you in 30 minutes. Thank everybody. Thank you so much. See you in 30 minutes.